Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Lawmasters Law of God broadcast. These questions and more will be answered this hour. Who are the key players in the battle of that great day of God Almighty? What is at risk? What is the theater of the battle? When will the battle be fought? Or has it occurred already? What weapons will be used? What stratagems? What effect will the battle's outcome have on you? And what precisely is the battle or war over? Questions of interest, Acts 8:30, understandest thou what thou readest? And 2, 1 Kings 21:20, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee. Statements of concern. 1, Revelation 8:1, there was silence in heaven. 2, Revelation 12:7, there was war in heaven. For those who can, invite relatives, friends, etc. over and share the program. Have a hearing good time. Yes, the topic of this program, this segment, and it will more likely be a 2 to 3 part series, is Armageddon, the great battle of that day of God Almighty. All right, the battle of that great day during the time of God Almighty. We learn from that clarification that this last decisive battle takes place, there we have the word place, during the actual time of God's physical presence on earth. There's another statement on God's actual physical presence on earth. That's Ecclesiastes 3:10 through 11. The statement speaks of God's work and of God's physical presence here on earth. The citation says, and I'll have to turn to that. Let's see. Ecclesiastes 3:10, which says these words. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. The key phrase there concerning God is in his time. And that speaks of during the time of God's actual physical presence on earth. All right. Another statement which is pertinent is John 4:25. When he is come, when he, God, is come, he will tell us all things. So in the scripture there is an expectancy for God, or concerning God, an expectancy of God. God is expected to come. He's expected to appear in physical form here on earth where no man is. When he is come, he will tell us all things. God is expected to do certain things when he comes. One thing he is expected to do is tell the Vatican and the Gentiles all things. In and throughout the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB, God is the personality expected by the papacy to come and appear in presence on earth, in person on earth. The papacy says, 1 John 3:2, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him, God, as he is. What is the point? The point is Armageddon, that great day of God Almighty, must and can only take place during God's physical lifetime here on earth. And I have before declared God's physical presence on earth. I say again, we are living in the time of God's actual presence on earth where no man is. No man is a secret name the papacy uses in the AZB for God. No man. The no man appellation. The no man title. The no man name is applicable to God. God is at this time dwelling in a physical body among men on earth. We are living in the time of the resurrection. That is the judgment of God. So for starters, know this, that without the actual physical presence on earth, the battle of that great day of God Almighty is an impossibility. But with God's actual presence on earth, the battle of that great day is a reality. But before we can understand Armageddon, the battle, we must first understand the war. For the battle of that great day of God Almighty is a component of a war that has been going on for years and years. Now, this war began before the fall of Africa to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles, commonly called white people, and the Gentiles' subjugation, let me read that over. Now, this war began before the fall of Africa to the Gentiles and the Gentiles' subjugation of black people at the word of the papacy, Rome, Italy. I ask the question, who are the key players in the war? My answer, the key players in the war are the Gentiles and the papacy. The key players' stated objective is given in Revelation 5:10, which says, we shall reign on the earth. The we being the papacy and its people, the Gentiles. We shall reign on the earth, the stated objective. Reign, to have ascendancy, authority, or dominating influence over others. Prevail. Think of the difference, or think of the different races the Gentiles predominate today. Before we go further, allow me to read from Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Get this. There's even a time for God to be born on earth, okay? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Things have been planted in the Bible by the papacy. Definition for plant here is hide, conceal, okay? And that's a slang definition. Let's continue. Things have been concealed in Bible content. The Bible contains secret information which God is disclosing at this time. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Listen at this. A time to break down. Break down means analyze. That's exactly what I have done with Bible content, or the content of the AZB, commonly called King James Version. Okay, I have broken down, I have analyzed Bible content, and I have come up with some of them startling and wonderful revelations. A time to break down. And so with that, we are going through that time, a time of breaking down, analyzing Bible content, and a time to build up. Let's see here. Build up means to make more desirable or attractive, as in to build up a product by advertising. In the Authorized Version Bible, in the AZB, the papacy builds up God. Okay? Build up. Also edify, which means to instruct in such a way as to improve, enlighten, or lift up morally, spiritually, and intellectually. And I hope that that is the intent of my teaching, to lift up intellectually, spiritually, if you will, to lift up morally. All right, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Let's skip down to verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. Think about things we have been talking about on this program. A time to get. Gentiles have waged war and gotten much. Black people have fallen at the hands of the Gentiles and lost much. They are not the only ones. Think about the Indians in America. And there are others as well. But a time to get and a time to lose. A time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence. And we're going to be speaking on that time to keep silence today. And a time to speak. This is a time to speak. This is a time for God to speak, and he is trying to make the best of that time. This is a time for you to join God in speaking out, speaking forth words of truth, truth of Bible content that will have some great, wonderful repercussions. A time to love and a time to hate. During this hour, you will hear the papacy, by means of Bible content, speak of those it hates, the papacy hates. Okay? A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with this time of war. And we will eventually get to Armageddon, the battle of that great day of God Almighty, and see what we have there. Okay? A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And we're going to see whether or not we have had peace in the Gentile world here. Okay? With that, let's get going. Okay, let's see where I am here. Key players. All right. Before we go further, allow me to read from, well, I've read that. We will consider two laws, the papacy's declaration of war and the Gentiles' fulfillment of the papacy's declaration, and two, the time to keep silence. And from that time of silence, we will advance to Armageddon, the battle of that great day of God Almighty. But first, the papacy's declaration of war. The commandment, the papal commandment to me is found first before we get to the declaration. The papacy's commandment to me is taken from Leviticus 26:10, which says, "Ye shall bring forth the old. As I speak presently, I will bring forth old information, old acts," okay? And fulfill that statement, "Ye shall bring forth the old." That's my permission, that's my authorization, Leviticus 26:10, to do what I am doing. All right? The declaration, Joel 3:9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war." This is a papal declaration. This comes from the Vatican, Rome, Italy. This proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the mighty men draw near. Let them come up. Numbers 32:15, and ye shall destroy all this people. Think about the battle that was waged by the Gentiles against the Africans. The battle that was waged against Indians in America, United States of America. And think of other battles they have waged. All right? And all the destruction they have left in their path. And ye shall destroy all this people. And one group in that word, in that phrase, this people, of course, is black people. Numbers 31:32, and the booty being the rest of the prey which the men of war had caught was 670,000. Verse 35 and 32, and 32,000 persons in all of women that had not known man by lying with him. All right. 2 Samuel 17:8, thy father is a man of war. Joshua 17:1, he was a man of war, a confirmation. And who is this he? Who is this father? Now the Gentiles, all Gentiles have a father in the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. All Gentiles have a father in the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the church religion is a cover for the papacy, and I'll make a statement on that further into the program. All right. Thy father is a man of war. The Pope looks like a man of peace. Looks like he wouldn't harm a fly. Don't be misled by that. By the Pope's word, the Gentiles went into Africa and other lands and took and robbed and gained. Okay? At the papacy's word. And remember the declaration I just read, prepare war, all right? And, of course, you can get much more in my book, the book of the law of God, all things, the demonstrated power of God. More on the matter is in my book, which you can go to my profile page and click on the link, the PayPal link, to order your copy or copies. Okay, Joshua 17:1, he was a man of war. Joshua 14:11, as my strength was then, this is the papacy speaking, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Okay. 1 Chronicles 12:33. Such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war. This is talking about the armies of the Gentiles that joined forces to go into Africa and to go into other lands and to conquer. The purpose, the mission of conquering, right? And that they have done. History bears witness to that. This is a papal admission. Job 10:17, thou renewest thy witnesses, and in this statement, in this admission, the papacy is speaking directly to me through, by means of the authorized version, crucial matter. Job 10:17, thou renewest thy witnesses against me and increases thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me, the papacy, the papal office, Rome, Italy. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, that papal admission to God. Do keep in mind that the war I'm speaking about now is not the same as Armageddon, the day of that great battle of God Almighty. I will get to Armageddon later. Right now, let's get back to the war. I have shown the papacy and Gentiles' mission statement. Remember, we shall reign on the earth. With regard to the war, ye shall destroy all this people also. Leviticus 26:7 says these words. 26:7 says, and ye shall chase your enemies. This is the papacy speaking to and commanding the Gentiles, giving them instructions concerning warfare against their enemies, one of those enemies being black people who were black people of the African continent. Okay? Ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Okay? Instructions of warfare. All right? Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. And I disclosed a papal admission. Charge changes and war are against me. Now we visit Leviticus 26 for the purpose of viewing some papal objectives which were actually carried out by the people of the papacy, the Gentiles, commonly called white people. As I show these things, I am actually fulfilling the papal commandment set in Leviticus 26:10, which says, ye shall bring forth the old. Let's begin in Leviticus 26:10. These are papal objectives given by the papacy to the Gentiles to carry out against black people of the African continent, the Africans, and other nations of people as well. All right, first objective here, and this is all new information right here. In my book, these objectives from Leviticus 26:10 are not there, but the objectives from Deuteronomy chapter 28 are all there. Okay, this is new information. The papacy says in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus 26:17, and I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. This is a statement to the enemies of the papacy, or the people the papacy calls its enemies. Okay? And of course, if they are the papacy's enemies, they are the enemies of the Gentiles also. All right? Ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursue it. They that hate you shall reign over you. Has that happened to black people? All right. Next objective, or next statement, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Let me say this. The objectives are called curses in the Bible. Okay? The objectives are called curses in the Bible. And as an example, let me cite Deuteronomy 28:15, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. All right, that's just one statement. There are others. All right, but let's continue with Leviticus 26. They that hate you shall reign over you. You shall flee when none pursueth you. Verse 20, your strength shall be spent in vain. Think about the black people who were enslaved by the Gentiles. Their strength was spent in vain. They got absolutely nothing from it. What did we read in Ecclesiastes 3? A time to gain, a time to get, the Gentiles have gotten. And a time to lose, black people have lost drastically. Beyond measure. I mean, beyond measure. All right? They are not the only ones. Now, if you are of a different race that has been conquered by the Gentiles, you know, think about yourself, all right, as I speak these things, all right? Your strength shall be spent in vain, all right? Next statement or curse, and I will, verse 22, Leviticus 26, 22, and I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children. Didn't the Gentiles do that against black people? Black people were robbed of their children. Huh? And I don't need to go into detail about that. We know that to be a fact. All right? Rob you of your children and destroy your cattle. Now, the main statement is that they shall rob you of your children and make you few in number. All right? Make you few in number. Think of all the black people who were killed, slaughtered, massacred at the hand of the Gentile slave masters, at the hand of the Gentile armies invading Africa. All right. Just think. And your highways shall be desolate. Main statement there, you shall be left few in number. They will make you few in number. All right, next statement, Leviticus 26, 25. And I, the papacy, will bring a sword upon you. All right? And we know that the soldiers, you know, that was one of their weapons of war, the sword, during that time of the Gentile takeover of Africa and subjugation of its people. All right? Listen, further into verse 25. I will send the papacy, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Who sold black people into slavery? Who sold black people into destruction? The papacy, Rome, Italy. He said, it says, I will, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Black people were delivered into the hand of the Gentiles by the papacy, Rome, Italy. Leviticus 26:30, and I will destroy your high places, places of government, seat of government and power. The Vatican says, I will destroy your high places. And my soul shall abhor you, hate you. Statement of hatred. My soul shall abhor you. All right? Leviticus 26:33, and I will scatter you among the heathen. Who were black people scattered among? We were scattered among the Gentiles, whether it be in Europe, whether it be in America, and various other places, taken by the Gentiles. Black people were scattered among the heathen. The Bible says here, black people were scattered among the Gentiles. At the word of the papacy, who is saying they will do this? It's the papacy saying this, what they will do. They said in verse 33 here, I will scatter you. Who scattered us? The Gentiles. The Gentiles carry out the will and purposes of the papacy. Always remember that. This is history that we are reading and talking about here. All right? Next statement is found in verse 34 of Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26:34. Then shall the land enjoy a Sabbath as long as it lieth desolate. Here's a statement of importance right here. And ye be in your enemy's land. Okay, now let's put verses 33 and 34 together, the important parts of those two statements, and here's what we come up with. Either papacy will scatter you among the heathen or Gentiles, and ye Africans, be in your enemy's land. And we have the evidence of that. Black people are found to be in places at this time, as I speak, that were foreign to us, and we got there to those places by means of what? The Gentile infamous slave trade, slave trafficking. Okay? Isn't that something? All of this stuff is coming from the Bible. All what happened to black people is rooted in Bible content, crucial matter of Bible content, which has come down from the papacy, Rome, Italy, down from the Vatican. We have all that history here in the book called the Bible. And black people have revered this book and reverenced this book for years, not recognizing themselves in this book, which they have what? Reverenced or revered. You forgot the correct word there. Okay? And praised. Think of the black people today. Which say they are praising the Lord, many now, as I speak, having a Bible in their lap, or in their hand, or in the pew, or in the chair beside them, somewhere around them. And this information is not being taught to them. But yet they are praising the Lord, singing songs of deliverance, and they have not been delivered. People, these things should arouse you. These things I teach should arouse you, because I'm not teaching my own doctrine. I'm teaching Bible content. The things that I'm reading here, these statements of interest that I am bringing forth, these very things have actually happened to black people, and we know that to be a fact. In the Bible, these things are found. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue, because we've got to get to Armageddon, the battle of that great day of God Almighty, the battle of that great day during the time, the lifetime of God Almighty here on earth. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And we do need a deliverer. I know blacks have advanced. The papacy commanded the Gentiles to set us free, and we've made strides. Yes, yes, we have. Great strides. We've come a long way, baby. Yes, we have. But we are not where we ought to be. And we are, at this present time, are not where we will be shortly, because God's plan will be put into action. Where will you be? Whose side will you be on? Will you be on the enemy's side? And I can say that because I've read several passages here where the papacy is referring to black people as enemies. Of course, they're referring to Indians as enemies also, and other people as well who have been, what, subdued, conquered by the Gentiles. So when I say black people, it's just these things are not limited to just black people. I say black people because I'm a black man. You look on my profile page, you see a black man, a beautiful black man. All right? Okay, let's continue. The papacy goes further to say in Leviticus 26:36, and upon them that are left alive of you. Listen at that rhetoric. Listen at that language, rather. and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. Weakness, inability, no power, faint. Okay. The Vatican says, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall. Fall. Didn't black people fall? Yes. We were defeated in battle in Africa at the hand of the Gentiles who were operating at the word of the papacy. And they, what? And they shall fall. Black people fail. Indians fail. Others fail. Okay? That has come to pass. I know it goes on to say when none pursueth, but we fail at the hand of the Gentiles who are operating at the word of the papacy, Rome, Italy. All right? And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword. And ye shall, listen, here's another one. Ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Think of where we've come since our being taken and cast into captivity by the Gentiles. Think of the things we have endured. Black people during the enslavement era, after we were conquered by the Gentiles, had no power at all. No power at all. Ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Our armies did not stand before the enemies when we were in Africa under invasion by the Gentiles. Our soldiers, whatever we call them, our soldiers, our armies did not stand. We did not stand after we were cast into captivity. We had no power to stand before the Gentiles. That statement has come true, people. That's these things are fulfilled, what I'm reading. That's why I said this is history. This is Bible. This is something. This is reading what is written in the book. Reading from the book, the Bible, the AVB, commonly called King James Version. Listen, let's move on to ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And verse 38 of Leviticus 26, and ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Boy, we have suffered terribly at the hands of the Gentiles. Now, somebody may say, now, Tommy, these things are behind us. No, it's in front of me. I'm reading it. I am reading it. It's not behind me. I'm reading it. I'm reading it from the Bible. Huh? Reading it. This is real. This is life. It may be past. Huh? Let's move on. Let's move on. Ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Ye shall perish among the heathen, the Gentiles. Perish. Those are statements taken from Leviticus chapter 26. Those statements in Deuteronomy 28 are called curses. So I call them objectives, aims. I call them curses. The objectives set against black people, as found in Leviticus 26:10. The curses pronounced against black people by the Vatican, the curses pronounced by the Vatican against black people. Don't forget the statement there, my soul shall abhor you. You don't do all those things to people you love. Huh? Isn't that something? You don't do all those things we just read from Leviticus 26:10 to people you love. The Vatican made the express statement, my soul shall abhor you. Now, how far are we from that today? Do Gentiles see blacks? I don't care. All over the world, worldwide, do Gentiles see blacks as being equal? I'm not talking about in word. I'm talking about in actual experience and performance. In actual experience and performance. These things are not behind me. These things are before me in the Authorized Version Bible. They are before me in the AVB, commonly called King James Version. Don't ever say it's behind me. All right, let's move on. Those are important revelations there, as I said. They don't teach these things in the church. But guess what also? They don't teach these things in the seminaries where blacks attend. Isn't that something? They don't teach these things. This Bible, every one of those things happen. And yes, it's a big deal with me. It's a big deal with me. You should be outraged. To find out, to hear that see these things are in the Bible, and we act like nothing. We cherish this book, black people. When I say black people, I'm talking about the masses of black people. We cherish this book. The other side of that is we don't know what's in it. Now, am I saying to you, you should hate the book? No, I'm saying you should learn everything in the book because it teaches you about you. It teaches you about the Gentiles. It teaches you about the papacy. They put these things in the book, and black people, what? Misread the book. They overlook the content. They don't recognize themselves in it. Now, anyone taking those statements, which I emphasized there in Leviticus 26:10. Each of those will have to agree with me that each of those things I emphasized has actually happened to black people. And yes, we should be concerned. We should be aroused. I should not be the only black person who sees this as a big deal. And say, wow, they misled me. They mistaught me. I didn't know this stuff was in the Bible. I didn't know this stuff about black people was in the Bible. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Let's move on. And as I said, these are all new citations. The emphasized statements in Leviticus 26 that I brought out before you. Let's turn to Isaiah 8:15 real quickly. Isaiah 8:15. Isaiah 8:15 says these words, "And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." That's war, people. That's war. Many among who? The people I was just talking about, black people. At the hand of the Gentiles operating at the word of the Vatican. Many. Think about, envision the war. Imagine the war. Imagine. Imagine, if you will. Indians in America. Imagine, if you will. The Gentile armies. The people running. The Africans running as they see their, you know, that they are not able to stand before the enemy. The enemy, you know, they're running. They're stumbling. They're falling. And they are broken. Blacks were broken. They were tamed. They were trained to operate in the capacity of slaves. That's an outcome of the war that I just spoke about. Trained, tamed, broken to what? Act in the role of a servant, a slave. What the Bible says, a lot of people know this statement. Servant, obey your masters. Slaves, obey your masters. That's That's a war statement, people. Elements of war. Consequences of war. Stumbling, falling, being broken, being snared, being taken, being cast into captivity, being cast into hell, being cast into slavery. That's hell. That was hell, okay? When the Bible speaks of hell, it's talking about slavery, right? Not talking about something down in the earth or somewhere, some lake of fire somewhere, out in space. No. Hell, slavery, all right? I got to read it one more time. Many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared. Snared in the trap of religion. As I said, the things I'm teaching are Bible things, but they don't teach these things in the church. Somebody is being tricked. Somebody is being snared. Somebody has been taken. Somebody has... Okay, you get the point. Let's turn quickly to Matthew 24:40. Matthew 24:40. All right. And our time is moving on. Matthew 24:40. These words are found. Then shall two be in the field. Think about the war. We're still talking about the war. The war. The war. And we know that there are many wars. But I'm looking at these wars as being one big mega war. The war that had many branches. Not, there wasn't war just in Africa. There was war in America. Huh? Gentile armies. Warring with the Indians. And other lands and areas. War. All these factions of war combined to make what? One great mega war that the Gentiles waged against non-Gentile people, other and certain non-Gentile people. One big mega war. All right, let's move on. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Left how? Left for dead. One shall be taken and the other left. That the other being left doesn't mean being not captured. No, he's left for dead. He's dead. That's why he's left. The one shall be taken and the other left. All right? They picked, the Gentiles picked and they chose. Many they killed, they left for dead. Many were taken and cast into enslavement. As concerning black people, you know what I'm saying, with regard to black people. All right? Indians were driven out into what they call reservation sites. Many of them were killed. And some of the same things that happened to black people happened to the Indians and other people as well. All right. The one shall then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And I put on there for dead because that's what he was. He was dead, or she was dead. Can't use a dead person in slavery. Huh? Okay. All right. Moving on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bible content detailing actual things experienced by black people at the hand of the Gentiles who carried out these things at the word of the papacy. Bible content detailing the fall of Africa and its inhabitants. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a bombshell. Ladies and gentlemen, also, you should be highly aroused. Yes. Now, I must admit, Africa obviously is not the only land that has, and I have admitted that, that has been invaded and conquered by the Gentiles. Let us hear this. The papacy and the Gentiles, working together throughout the years, have waged war, conquered lands, subdued people, destroyed cultures, and annihilated civilizations. They have never had to answer to anyone for any of their doings. Have the papacy and the Gentiles acted immorally? Have they committed iniquity? Should they not be brought to justice? Well, the Vatican has taken full responsibility for wrongs committed. Vatican City should be full of blacks and others demanding answers and compensation equal to the destruction and injuries, physical and mentally, they the papacy and the Gentiles have caused. I say, does anyone care? Does anyone give a hoot? Well, God cares, and I give a hoot. 2 Samuel 15:20 says, take back thy brethren. And the papacy is speaking to me in that statement. It says, take back thy brethren. Well, what has happened to my brethren? They have experienced just what we've read this morning, or today. They have experienced defeat. They have experienced death. They have experienced the nine yards. Destruction. They have experienced enslavement, captivity. They have experienced oppression. The papacy says to me, take back thy brethren. The papacy, God has an interest, and that interest is his brethren, his people. The papacy in Psalm 94, verse 1 says to me, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. I say to the Pope, on the basis of Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Announcements. Click on the links in the center column on my profile page. Visit my YouTube presentation by clicking on the YouTube link. Also, order copies of my book in manuscript form by clicking on the PayPal link. People, work the links. Work with God. Work the links. Work the links. Share your interest in this program by calling in on the guest line. That's 1-718-664-6262. I'll give that number again. The guest line is 1-718-664-6262. Now, and let me say this, because we have about maybe 5 or 6 minutes or so. For those of you listening online, once the screening goes stops, and that will happen in a very few minutes, you can call in at the guest line or download the archive. Okay? Call in at the guest line or download the archive. I will continue with the lecture. If you want to say something, chime in. All right? And I hope we can get that right today. I'm still learning how to operate this stuff. Okay. Let's move on. And we are heading to Armageddon, that great battle, that great day of the battle of God. Okay. That battle of the great day of God Almighty. Continuing on now, we will consider the Passover law. As we advance toward Armageddon, the battle of that great day during the time of God Almighty. The Passover law is a stratagem. It is a offensive Vatican maneuver given to the Gentiles. This maneuver or stratagem is against blacks and other non-Gentile people. Keep in mind, the war is continuing. It is not over. It has not ended. This time of the Passover law is a period in the war that is marked by silence. Let's return to Ecclesiastes verse 3. And we have there in verse 7, a time to keep silence. Now, just a few programs ago, I read a portion, if not all, of the law of Pat, the papacy's iniquitous law of Passover, the law of silence and deceit. All of these things, the war, the Passover, the time of Passover, the Passover law, the law of the Vatican curse against black people, all these things are tied together, the law of God, all these things are interconnected, people. And I hope we can see that through my teaching here. This time is marked by silence. But the war is continuing, but there is silence. All right. One of our statements of interest is there was silence in heaven, and I think that one is in what Revelation 8:1, if I recall correctly, Revelation 8:1. Let's see, just to make sure. Okay, just about there. Revelation 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. Now, that's one of the statements of interest. Now, the other statement of interest is what? There was war in heaven. And I believe that's in Revelation 12. 12. Okay. Revelation 11:19. Revelation 11:19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. That's not what I wanted. Okay. Revelation 12:7 says, and there was war in heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is space. All right. Everything that is in the space called heaven. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now, that's a statement, okay, which we'll talk about later on, all right? But I'm just citing it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, all right? Space. Everything that is in the space called heaven, all right? We are in heaven already. The earth itself is called what? A heavenly body. All the planets, sun, and all like that, these things are called heavenly bodies. Now, if they are heavenly bodies, then if the earth is a heavenly body and we are on the earth, then we are heavenly bodies as well. A tree is a heavenly thing. A car is a heavenly thing. A church building, a school building, a morgue, funeral home. Those things are all heavenly things because they are in the space called heaven. So there was war in heaven, and we've talked about that war. All right? We're not going to even finish this today. The revelation revelation intelligence says there was silence in heaven. Notice the language. It is in the past tense. There was silence in heaven. That's very significant. Okay, I say to you, the time of silence that we read of in Ecclesiastes 3:7 is past. It is coming on. Question, when did the time of silence begin, and when did it end? The time of silence began shortly before the papacy called for emancipation. We have 90 seconds left in the program. Again, let me go back to this statement here. For those of you listening online, once the screaming goes off, and I hope I'm pronouncing that word right, screaming. If not, somebody will correct me later on. Once it stops in about a minute now, you can call in at the guest line or download the program, download the archive. I will continue with the lecture. If you want to say anything, call in, chime in. Okay? And the call-in number, again, is, let's see here. The call-in number is 1-718-664-262. That's 1-718-664-262. Thank you for joining me today. Join me next time for another program, Law Masters program, Law Masters, the Law of God broadcast. All right, and we're going to continue here. I wonder if we have anyone, any callers. Let's see here. Yes, we do have a caller. I hope I can get this right. Yeah. Caller is muted. Okay. We have one caller on the line. Caller, would you like to say something? That is 314-381 caller. Area code 314. All right. And I see also we have a 916 area code as well. Wonderful. All right. That caller is also muted. And I believe my friend Nero. And hello to both of you. And thanks for joining in on the program here. If you want to say something, I guess I better stay close to the computer so I can see if anyone wants to say something. Let's see here. 314. Hello?
Hello, are you?
I'm fine.
Hello?
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you, but can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you well.
You know, I was listening to your reading, and you were talking about using that term Armageddon.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you know how that word came to be derived. The word Armageddon comes back. Yeah, the word Armageddon goes all the way back to in the time of an African Sultan who was, I guess you can say, one of the mightiest warriors of that time. His common name was Thutmose III, but his his African name was Menkaure Tahutimose, and he waged war against him and a coalition of Canaanites. This was before there was any area there called Palestine. He waged war against the Assyrians, and he extended the reaches of what was known then as, you know, the African continent, that part of the world, northeast corner, coming out of Egypt, as far as Syria. And they had a war. They had a battle in a town that's called Megiddo. And the devastation that they caused on that town, that area, was so devastating. They said this is what the end of the world would look like. Therefore, they came up with this term called Armageddon.
Okay.
This was back in the 15th, 16th century B.C.
Okay.
And, you know, at that time, Africa had not been. And, matter of fact, the Africans controlled the world at that time. And, you know, you can go see remnants of this person today. But I really, one other point I want to think of, you do identify the Gentiles as they, who they're supposed to be. Because when you look at the old map, the Gentiles, and they talk about the areas there around Italy, France, and so forth. And some will argue now and say, we are the Gentiles. So that's what I wanted to comment on.
All right, I appreciate that. And thanks for the information.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Okay. And we know that Gentiles are those people who call themselves white. Gentiles are Europeans, okay? Simply put, Gentiles are Europeans. Gentiles are the people who conquered Africa, invaded the continent, conquered the land and inhabitants, subdued the inhabitants, stole the goods, robbed the people, and enslaved us. All right. Very good. Okay. Some of the points that I touched on, and he mentioned the brother just mentioned the statements in Africa, I mean statements on the Gentile destruction of Africa and takeover of its people and resources and land. Those things are real. Those things are real. We as a whole, one of the intents of this program is to put this information out there where black people will have access to Truth of Bible content, because we have been hoodwinked, we have been deceived, we have been misled. And the sad thing about it is that we have black preachers, male and females, teaching the lies to black people that we received from the Gentiles when we were slaves and could not read. But yet, in religion, which is based on lies and set up to keep and steer people away from the truth, non-Gentile people away from the truth, the church is a deceitful thing. It's a deceitful institution, a deceiving institution, and blacks take part in that act of continuing to deceive black people. They themselves are deceived, and they deceive other black people. That's a sad story on that, a sad account there. Let me check my lines again, because at this time I'm away from the computer, but I'm walking to the computer now to see if we have anyone else. And if we don't have anyone else wanting to say anything, we'll continue with the lecture, the reading. Okay, I will continue with the reading. Okay, where did we stop here? Okay, we said that, prohibition. Okay, here we are. Here we are. I have said the time of the Passover law is marked by silence. It is also marked by restraint, obstruction of justice, falsehoods, wickedness, secrecy, deceit, conspiracy, oppression, and hypocrisy. I'm pretty sure there are other things that it's marked by, but those are just some of the things that this time of silence, which is now ended, some of its marks, some of its characteristics. The time of silence, I believe I said this during the broadcast, began sometime before the papal announcement of emancipation to the Gentiles. Okay, now, when did this time of silence end? The time of silence ended with the coming of God and the issuance of the Freedom of Information Act, God's ruling by God himself. I read that ruling maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so I won't read it again. We also, in that ruling, going along with that ruling, we have God's ban on Jesus. Some of you may recall that, the reading of that ban and the reading of the Freedom of Information Act, God's ruling. Okay? That ruling has brought the papacy's iniquitous Passover law, that ruling of God has annulled it. And with the annulment of the Passover law, the time of silence is brought to an end. Now, that has happened in fact, okay? In fact, it has not yet happened physically. It will happen physically shortly, all right? And when I say shortly, I do mean shortly, because there are some things that I must do, and there are things that the papacy must do as well, okay? And when the papacy does the things that it will do, law of silence will end physically. It's already ended, in fact, by God's announcement, by God's order, and it will end physically once the papacy comes forth and announces certain information to the world. Okay? Now, just a few brief notes and points on the Passover law. The Passover law, let me just scan it here, and I'll just pick out certain points on it. The Passover law main feature is that of silence. It commands the Gentiles to be silent, silent on truth, silence on things that are real in Bible content. It orders the Gentiles to hold their peace, to be silent. Remember not the former things that I have just read, especially with regard to the reading from the reading on Leviticus 26:10. Okay, that's why you don't hear these things that I teach in the church or from the ministers. Okay, now the thing about this is this: Gentiles know that they have been under the Passover law. They keep it to a T. They observe all Gentiles, not just Jews, those who call themselves Jews. Jews are Gentiles, okay? All right? But all Gentiles keep the Passover law, okay? Now, do blacks keep or have blacks kept the Passover law? Yes, blacks have kept the Passover law. How? Blacks have kept the Passover law out of ignorance and out of their ignorance and credulity. Okay? And I said this either last week or week before last. I remember saying it. Okay? Blacks have observed the Passover law ignorantly. They didn't know that they were doing it. They don't know that they are observing the Passover law. Okay? And that's the difference. Gentiles know they are observing it. Blacks observe it because they follow the Gentiles. And so Gentiles don't speak on certain issues of Bible matter, so black people don't speak on those issues. So the Gentiles are silent on certain issues, and blacks follow suit. They are also silent on those same certain issues. And in that silence, there is the practice of, there is the observance of the law of Passover. Maybe I'll read it again, but I won't read this law at this time. Keep the Passover, the Gentiles are commanded. Let us know among ourselves what is good. Non-Gentile people have not known what is good in the Bible. They have not known what is evil in the Bible. The Gentiles know the two, and they know the difference. Okay? So Gentiles are up on certain things in Bible content. Black people are not up on certain things in Bible content. Okay? Blacks need to be delivered from their ignorance. All right? The Gentiles have operating at the word of the papacy have led blacks into ignorance on Bible matters. All right? Black people must be delivered from that ignorance. All right? Okay, forsake ye not my law. And that's talking about don't forsake, telling the Gentiles don't forsake the Passover law. They are to intentionally omit certain things in their teaching, and they do that. Passover. The word Passover is a verb, actually, two words, pass over. All right? Pass over means to disregard, to omit, to overlook. All right? And that's what Gentiles do with certain crucial matter of Bible content. They disregard it, they overlook it, they dismiss it. Not dismiss it, they, let's just say they overlook it, they disregard certain things, okay? They act as though they don't see certain things, right? And in that, they are obeying, they are following, they are observing the Passover law. Okay, maybe I'll read it later on another program. All right, let's move on. Now, if the Passover law is a defensive stratagem, what is it defensive of? The Passover law seeks to defend the truth by silence, holding back, misleading, covering, overlooking, hiding, concealing, The Passover law seeks to defend the papacy by ban or prohibition, omission, and silence. The Passover law seeks to defend the Vatican and Gentiles' faith by misleading and misinforming. Allow me to take the time to say this. Let me say this first. The Bible is a law book. The papacy is a governmental, worldly institution. That's what it is innately. Religion is a cloak for the papacy. Okay? Let me read that again. The Bible is a law book. The papacy is a governmental, worldly institution. That's what it is innately. Religion is a cloak. Okay? For the papacy. The papacy's iniquitous Passover law and all Gentiles' observance of that law show the papacy's and Gentiles' disrespect, disregard, and disvalue of blacks and other non-Gentile people. The papacy's iniquitous Passover law flies in the face of blacks and other non-Gentiles. The people should be outraged. The war continued throughout the time of silence. The papacy and the Gentiles used for weapons, let me say that again, the papacy and the Gentiles used for weapons, disrespect, and this is during the time of silence, they used for weapons, disrespect, disregard, and disvalue. They also used for weapons, silence, deceit, and misinformation. And that brings us to the feature story. We are realizing that the papacy is an iniquitous institution. Ladies and gentlemen, now that too is a bombshell. All right. Let's see what we have on the computer here. Anybody wants to call in, they can do so at this time. Okay. 314, did you want to say anything else? Okay, he's silent. Either he's gone, one or the other. Okay. Hello? 314? Okay, call him muted. Okay. Didn't want to say anything. Brother Nero, you're quiet on me today. What I'm going to do is this. I will save the... Let me do this. There are two statements, Armageddon, that I want to leave you with. Excuse me. And let me pull them up. And this has to do with Armageddon. Let's see. Just give me a moment here, please. Armageddon, A-R-M-A. Let's see. The Bible, some Bibles have hyphenated terms in them. Okay? Some Bibles have hyphenated terms. Those hyphenated terms have hidden meanings in them, secret hidden meanings. Armageddon is one such word. Now, let me say this. All authorized version Bibles do not have certain words hyphenated, but there are some authorized versions that do make use of the hyphen in certain words. Okay. Let's see here. Armageddon. Following the rules of engagement with regard to and with respect to hyphenated terms two statements come out of the term Armageddon. The first statement is a damn doer, a damn doer. Now, let me explain the rules here. The rule is to use, in the hyphenated term, use each letter in the hyphenated term with the exception of one consonant. Okay? Now, that is the primary rule. Use all letters in the term with the exception of one letter to form another word or a phrase or a statement. Another rule of engagement with the hyphenated terms is using that of using all the letters to form another word, a phrase, or a statement. So you can use all the letters in the term to form a word, statement, or phrase, or you can use all the letters with the exception of one consonant to form another word, a phrase, or a statement. Okay? So, one statement that we have when we apply the rules of engagement of hyphenated terms is a damn doer. And, you know, in James, it says, be doers of the word, okay? Do, execute, fulfill. God is a fulfiller of the word, okay? I am a fulfiller of the word, okay? But the Bible says a damn doer. Not the Bible, the term Armageddon says a damn doer. That's a secret statement or phrase in the hyphenated word, Armageddon. Another phrase is an armed God. An armed God. Okay? What does that mean? What is God armed with? One thing God is armed with is truth. Okay? He's armed with truth. He's armed with insight. All right? He's armed with truth of Bible content. And that itself is a powerful weapon. All right? So, the two statements are a damn doer and an armed God. Armed suggests what? Weapons. The truth is a weapon against the Vatican, the papacy, and the Gentiles. All right, I'm going to sign off, and we'll talk exclusively about Armageddon next week, the next broadcast. So join me next week for more of Armageddon, the battle of that great day of God Almighty, the battle of that great day during the time of God Almighty. Thank you, and until next time, see you later.